What's up, geeks? Welcome to a special episode of This Week in Geek, Trailer Time Edition. Fans of all things geek-centric just got a massive overload of trailers for some of the most exciting movies and TV shows coming our way in 2024. My only question is, you know those mini trailers before the actual trailers start? Who the hell are those for? What's up, geeks? My name is Kev, and this is the Geek-Centric Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, well, we are a podcast focusing on the world of movies, TV shows, games, toys and collectibles, and all things geek-centric. Today, we are striking up a whole bunch of banjos because this entire episode, it's trailer time! We've got a ton to talk about, so let's just get right to it. Joining me tonight are three trailer junkies, and no, I do not mean Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles. I mean Nate, Darcy, and J-Law. How are we, guys?
I think I'm great.
I would almost prefer to be.
Will you be Bubbles?
I want to be Bubbles.
I guess so.
I mean, you got glasses, so I guess maybe
I guess
that works.
Well, we both have glasses. It would be me and Darcy would be
right.
Fighting for
out
Bubbles.
Out of everyone.
Yeah. I guess. But then who's Kev?
I'll be Leahy stumbling around drunk.
Yeah, Leahy. Who's the one that eats the cheeseburgers?
That's Randy. That's Randy. What I always got. That was my nickname when I was at college. Yeah. Yeah, my buddy was Leahy and I was Randy for some reason. So I'm glad I got an upgrade and was actually one of the main trailer boys this time.
But Kevin, can I just shout out? I mean, I know we're not going to be talking about Deadpool, but I want to shout out the meta-ness of what you just did of asking about the mini trailer before our main discussion of trailers. Brilliant. Excellent job. Fantastic.
No notes.
Thanks, Pat. In case you don't get that reference, go check out Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and then tune in to check out our spoiler filled review. We just had a lot of fun dissecting that movie, so go check it out. But seriously, the last few days have seen a trailer bonanza come our way, and these are for some of the most anticipated movies and TV shows of the year, plus a few that I personally completely forgot were coming out, but am now actually really stoked to see. So why don't we just dive right in? Our first trailer comes from the twisted mind of George Miller and is the origin story of renegade warrior Furiosa before her encounter and team-up with Mad Max. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, stars Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth, and has hell frozen over because are we about to talk about a prequel I'm actually excited for?
It's funny because like a lot of the things we're talking about today, for the most part, are prequels with like a couple sequels, but... dude, I'm really intrigued by this trailer. I think it's interesting to actually see green in this world.
After hearing about it so much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And so the whole idea of Furiosa's abduction is going to be really interesting to see. And just to see anything other than desert in this world, I think is going to be really cool.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And thinking of Anya Taylor-Joy in this movie and how awesome she looks has me thinking about another desert movie franchise, but I won't get into it. But yeah, the vibrancy, the colors, the world of Mad Max from George Miller, this looks great. This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, but I would hope that it has at least the same sort of attention to the politics, if you will, of it, and seeing that evolve as well, to understand, you know, when we do get to Mad Max Fury Road, you know, how did that world get that way? And I think in a lot of ways, we'll be able to see that progression through it. And that's also part of the whole prequel aspect of it, rather than just being something that starts a whole new franchise. I think this movie serves as a world builder and can be its own thing. You know, a Mad Max saga really has me wondering, he's got more of these, I guess, right? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that we were going to get a sequel to Fury Road that would be featuring Tom Hardy as Mad Max again. But I think the most interesting thing or the thing that has me most interested about Furiosa is Chris Hemsworth's Dementis. He is full on leaning into that Australian accent. You've never heard him sound so Australian, but he looks like he's going to be a sick and twisted son
of Morton
Joe.
Right?
And I can't. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And it looks so different. I can't wait to see what he does with this character, because it looks like he's going to have a lot of fun playing this sick and twisted villain for the series. So,
how awful is he that, like, that Furiosa is willing to team up with Immortan Joe to take this guy down? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like she's, you know, she's got the chrome head makeup on. It looks like she's working with Immortan Joe, and there's that moment in the trailer where she's like, if you find him, he's mine. Like, it's, you can see, like, I think Anya Taylor-Joy is just so perfect for this role, and she's gonna absolutely kill it. Seeing Chris Hemsworth looking like a deranged Thor on a chariot of motorbikes.
A motorcycle chariot is awesome. Yeah.
It's so cool, and it's just like, I think if anything, like, I, you know what, my hopes are that we get a movie that looks as cool as this trailer makes it look to be. If we get that, I'll be happy. You know, as far as the story is concerned, you know, like you were saying, Justin, we'll see. It's kind of tricky with these prequels, sequel, prequel, reboot, revamp, you know, all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to sort of see, it's going to be stylish no matter what.
Have you seen Mad Max Fury Road? You've seen that, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. So like, I'm hoping, at least from a visual standpoint, it continues that sort of intensity.
It feels like the few car scenes we've gotten in this trailer feel just as vicious as the movies. And I mean, I hope we see the origin of the bass player too, because that would be a fun little Easter egg.
Well, I don't know. Have you read about that? You do not want to see that on the screen. Read that guy's backstory. Really? It's awful.
Oh, okay, then I will. I'll take your word for it. Oh my god!
Sleep tonight. Check that out. Like, I am so stoked for this. It's really going to be hard to see how this can top or match, I should say, Fury Road, considering it was like nominated for 10 Oscars and won 6. Like, that is really high bar for a movie like this to sort of live up to. But when Anya says, I want them back, like, she starts off with that really low, dialogue. And then the way she screams that is so perfectly, Charlize there and there. And then the casting for young Furiosa is so spot on. It's terrifying. Like, I was like, damn, that's good casting. I totally believe that's a young Anya.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, awards for casting in future ceremonies, I think that could absolutely be the case. We could see that there. But no, I think the idea of almost a kind of like what we've seen in some of the Star Wars stuff, just the idea of younger Rust. You know what I mean? Like, the world is rusted out, but it's a little less.
So it's slightly newer
still. So that's going to be, I think it's going to be really cool. Stoked.
Yes, I am excited to visit that Mad Max sand planet, as Rick in our geek-centric video said. Yeah, I know. anyways, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, ferociously drives into theaters on May 24th. Next up, Michael Keaton is donning the black and white striped suit again and being joined by the newest Scream Queen, Jenna Ortega, while Tim Burton, Winona Ryder, and Catherine O'Hara all return to deal with Beetlejuice's shenanigans once again. This was very much a teaser trailer, but did we get some nostalgic vibes from this one?
I mean, Jenna Ortega riding through the town is just like, oh, we're starting the first movie all over again, basically. And you see that bridge, and it's like, I can't wait. I'm already excited and to go back into this world of spooky hijinks with Michael Keaton and stuff. I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, no, this trailer is a teaser at best, but the main thing that you get from it is that they're bringing back all the right pieces from the original movie, the original cast. You got the director, the world is there, the nostalgia is there. And we know that works, especially given the fact that we did talk about Ghostbusters and Afterlife and putting all those elements together to make that movie a success. But I hope it also doesn't fall into the pitfalls of that just being nostalgia bait for this movie. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, this was a teaser. I haven't watched the original in a really long time, so I don't know if I caught any Easter eggs, but I'm sure New Rockstars already has a video out that breaks it all down, so so I can go and watch that.
I mean, Alfred Gove, I'm not sure if I'm mispronouncing that, Miles Millard, who wrote Spider-Man 2, are writing for this, but they also wrote the Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. So it's like hit and miss here. But also they wrote they worked on Smallville and Wednesday. So I think obviously with Jenna Ortega being involved in this, there's a close connection there. So I'm excited to sort of see how that works. I've never seen the original Beetlejuice. It'll be some homework that I'll have to do before this movie comes out. But there's you know, I think Michael Keaton looks disgusting, and given how good that man looks outside of this role, I think they're obviously this makeup department is doing a stellar job at bringing this character back. And so I'm interested to sort of see, though, because like I've only seen scenes from the original Beetlejuice, and obviously the technology that they had at the time couldn't quite capture all the nasty, wrinkly, gross pimples and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to sort of see this in like a 4K format and how just awful it's going to be. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, you had me a little worried there mentioning the writers behind it, but the fact that Tim Burton came back for it, you know what I mean? It's not like we're getting Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, where even, you know, the original director's son, who did a great job, Jason Reitman, doing Afterlife, he left, and that should have been our first sign. But this, the fact that Tim Burton is willing to come back as part of, like, to make a second installment for something that's so ingrained in his legacy gives me hope for sure.
Yeah, and I think he even notices what it means to his legacy to come back and be telling the second part to this story. Writing aside and all things kind of, I think all the pieces are there for this to potentially work, but, you know, we need to see obviously a little bit more. I know a lot of people were wanting a sequel to Beetlejuice and have been waiting quite a while for this, so they definitely, like, the internet didn't blow up, but I remember just everything I was seeing in my feed was just like Beetlejuice.
Sure.
I know. I was like,
"Well, you said
okay,
it's
so the Beetlejuice trailer,
bro." I haven't even seen the movie. I know you're not supposed to do that, bro.
Again, I also love the fact that the name of this movie is just Beetlejuice. The fact that
perfect.
It's
so
building
the
off
one,
of that in joke, in universe rumor or whatever. It's setting up for a wicked third one that he's just everywhere.
Yeah. Or they don't do the third one because you never say it three times, right? Like, so.
Good point.
Now, is the use of Harry Belafonte's Deo a purposeful
that's part of the,
thing?
Yeah, that's part of the original.
Go
do your homework.
I thought it was super, super weird, but then I will say they got me back in with the line, "The juice is loose." Like that to me, I was just like, get that on a t-shirt, get that on the poster, let's go. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we will be sure to say his name three times on September 5th. Our next teaser trailer comes from the terrifying mind of Fede Alvarez, the man who did Blood and Guts to the Extreme with the 2013 remake of Evil Dead, and who ratcheted up tension and claustrophobia with Don't Breathe, is about to do that shit in space with xenomorphs. while scavenging the deep ends of a derelict space station, a group of young space colonizers come face to face with the most terrifying life form in the universe. And I'll say, after being kind of disappointment with Ridley Scott's Prometheus and Alien Covenant, I think it is about time for some fresh eyes to revitalize the Alien franchise with Alien Romulus.
This does feel like a return to form in a lot of ways. It feels like it's a return to what made the series so successful is this hybrid of sci-fi, horror, thriller. And this trailer is just over a minute, and it barely shows you anything, but it is as tense as hell. Like, it is scary as shit, given the background of the director and the movies that you were mentioning that he's done. Without a doubt, this is going to give us a real sense of fear. I'm interested in seeing this. This was very much a teaser, though. It didn't really give you much.
Yeah, I mean, I've not kept up with the Alien franchise past Aliens, but this looks horrifying. It sounds like it's going to be crazy. Like, I, you know, watching this trailer in surround sound, it's just, I cannot wait to see this movie in a theater. I almost can't wait to hear the movie more than actually see it, because I think the sound design is just going to be wicked in this. And
well, it's
going to
be
face
so
huggers
scary.
And
you're going to have your eyes closed for half of it. I know.
So that's all I'll be doing is listening to it. Yes. But that shot of Kaylee Spaney, again, apologies if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, with the gun in the hand, such a phenomenal Ridley callback. Like, it just looks so perfect. And yeah, I think Fetty knows, you know, what he's doing with this movie, and I'm really, really,
he's a fan, right? Yeah. He's a fan of the stories, and I think, again, like those subtle callbacks and the visuals, the female hero, you know, the crew and all of that, it feels like they're all at play here, right? You know, even when they pass by it looks like a medical bay, and you just see blood everywhere, and you're like, oh, someone's stomach blew up, right?
Right? So it's the old stomach blew up again.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like, it gave you everything that you needed to feel or know about this world without really giving you much. And I think it was just sort of felt like a mood board, this trailer. You know what I mean? Like, more of like a tonal mood board of like what to anticipate.
Yeah. Like, I've never been the biggest horror fan, but the Aliens franchise is something I've always loved to go back and watch, because it is so, so tense, and the way they build up those moments is so special. And what I didn't like about Covenant and Prometheus was they kind of went away from that a bit, and they did lean more into the sci-fi aspect, where this one seems to be returning, hitting you hard with that horror aspect. Like, again, the chills I had watching this trailer got me excited. And again, I'm not the biggest horror fan, so for something as spooky as this to get me this stoked, it says a lot, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, she's pulling that tube out of her throat or whatever.
Yeah, the hallway bursting with all the face, like, the face huggers. Like, oh, and then the chills. Like, again, I'm getting chills talking about it.
But that's all I need. Like, what is it? It's a movie about xenomorphs on a space station with a bunch of victims. Okay, and it looks and feels and sounds terrifying. But done. That's all I need.
But even if it is more than that, for you to actually go into the movie with that, like, in your mind, and then to do something different with it, like, kind of go a different direction. You know, they've already told you very little, and that's what your interpretation is. So anything outside of this is going to be a surprise, and it's probably going to be a benefit to the movie, right?
Versus, it a prequel or a sequel?
On a really quick glance, I couldn't find where it falls in the timeline. Okay. All I know is that xenomorphs are like space incels, because their greatest weakness is a badass woman, which is a cool message. I'm down for that. But alien Romulus will make you scream so loud,
well, it's,
people will hear you even in space. On October 15th.
There you go.
Next, we travel back to Westeros for a show that took the world by storm with its first season. It was perhaps the most destination viewing thing since streaming took over the world. For season 2 of House of the Dragon, HBO asks viewers to choose a side with not one, but 2 trailers. One for House Green, the other for House Black. And boys, all I need to know is, which side are you on?
Ooh.
Black, baby.
Black all the way.
The
high towers are just, they're cancer to Westeros. And like,
they are not the rightful heir to the throne. We saw how well that shit went down. So,
but I love that these trailers, they draw a line for the audience to sort of pick a side in this conflict. Like, the marketing is just fantastic. It takes me back to Team Edward, Team Jacob back in the Twilight days. And I can already see the merch. I can already see the green shirts and the black shirts, you know, with like, you know, for the queen, or like the rightful King Aegon or whatever, right? Like, yeah, so I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's cool. You know, in one of these trailers, we get to see the wall. I'm wondering if there's going to be, like, if they are going to do anything with White Walkers, or if they're too scared after what happened in the last season of Game of Thrones. But to see Starks, I think, is dope. I'm pretty sure those are Starks. I don't know. I didn't read the book, so I'm not sure necessarily.
Do your homework, bro. No, I'm just joking.
Sorry.
I didn't read the books.
No, Darcy's our House of the Dragon expert for sure.
Oh, again, I'm a huge fan of Fire and Blood, and so the fact that we're going to get the Starks, they are staunchly against bending the knee, because they're their own country, basically, so far north. So it's going to be really cool to explore that relationship, because, again, in Fire and Blood, it is very much a historian's view on the story. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is they see it a certain way, but that leaves the door open for so many ways to interpret the story and present it. Like, again, in the books, the Blacks are the bad guys, but from the show, it clearly is the opposite. The High Towers are the ones who are messed up. So it's. I'm really excited, again, to return to this world and explore the history of the Targaryens, because there's so much cool stuff that happens.
Well, it's dope to see Rhaenyra looking like she's recruiting. It looks like there's going to be even more dragons this season, which is
oh yeah, that's 100% awesome. What's coming. Yeah, that's there's so cool. There's a whole storyline where they're trying to recruit dragon riders. So if we get to see that on screen, I'm going to be very excited.
And then the only other thing I caught watching these is it looks to me like Alicent might be at a funeral. And I'm going to put out a prediction, and obviously if you know Darcy, try not to say otherwise. But
I won't say anything.
I think it could be her dad, Otto, because at one point you see Kristen Cole wearing a gold chain, which is to signify that he's, I guess, Hand of the King. And so I think Otto gets replaced is what I'm going with, but I don't know. I'm excited regardless. June 16th, I'm so stoked. And like you said, Kevin, appointment television, like this is, I remember, you know, we would share that tweet back and forth of just the people's apartment. There was an apartment and it was all just the same lights coming out of the apartment because everyone's watching House of the Dragon at the same time. It's just, it's fantastic. And I can't believe that we've got a show that's a spinoff, that's a prequel that is not only beloved by everyone else, but also beloved by you.
Well, and speaking of, HBO gives me the ultimate birthday gift. As you mentioned, this will burn its way onto our television screens on June 16th. So I know what I'm doing for my birthday this year, because that will be on at 10 o'clock sharp.
Oh, sick. I'll dress up like a dragon.
Oh, a little viewing party. That sounds fun. I'd be down for that.
Let's do it.
Also coming from HBO, we revisit Matt Reeves' stellar version of Gotham to focus on one of the most unique comic book movie performances in a very long time. Colin Farrell was almost unrecognizable as the Penguin in The Batman and stole every scene that he was in. So it's incredibly well-deserved that he gets this show to not only highlight that performance and character, but to flesh out the seedy criminal underbelly of Gotham City itself. I myself am very intrigued to see where this one goes.
Yeah, it feels like Sopranos.
Bit of Scarface, too?
Yeah, a little Scarface there, too. But I like the idea of using a criminal like the Penguin, like Oswald Cobblepot, to kind of explore this version of Gotham's criminal world. Like you said, he was incredible in The Batman. And it's great that he's getting a show here where we can explore his character more. And by extension, explore Gotham more. Explore that seedy underworld of Gotham that, you know, Matt Reeves has sort of depicted in his iteration of the Batman. And this whole Gotham series, you know, it's interesting. I'm very excited to see what he has in store with this show. And to see more Colin Farrell is a plus. I'm excited also, too, because we're obviously talking about Gotham. Who else are we going to see? I don't think we're going to see Batman, but I think we could get little hints to.
There's little rumors. There's rumors that he was on set. That Pattinson was on set, so maybe in like the last scene of the last episode.
Maybe that's part of the reason why the movie's delayed. And you know what? I'm okay if the movie's delayed. I would rather a better product.
Yeah.
And if we're gonna get this in between now and 2026, I think this should suffice, and this should be enough of a reintroduction to the world of Gotham and to everything that we know from Matt Reeves' Batman. And if to your point, Nate, if he was on set and there's rumors and stuff like that, I honestly think that they don't need him in it. They just need the idea of him to be there rather than actually for him to physically be there. And I think that that's even more of an interesting approach, because you could use that to your advantage. Even just how the beginning of the Batman opens and it's like he's talking about how everyone just fears the shadows. Like you could do shit like that. You know what I mean? And that would be really, really cool to kind of sell the idea of Batman. But who knows? I've heard that we may see Harvey Dent pre-Two-Face, right? We may see
when he's the lawyer fighting for good.
Exactly.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, exactly. So we might see stuff that.
The character I'm most interested in so far from this trailer is Kristen Milioti's character. She's playing Carmen Falcone's daughter, Sophia. And just, again, exploring this criminal underworld and this, you know, fight for power and stuff like that it's going to be really cool. Because, again, this Batman universe is so grounded and does have, it's not as fantastical like you're saying, Justin. So returning to it, focusing on this underworld will give us a really, again, dark storyline that I think will help set the tone for the next Batman movie. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, it's interesting to go from a trailer like House of the Dragon, which is a multi-faction, you know, fight for power, to this crime underworld Gotham,
same
multi-faction,
thing, yeah.
you know, fight for power. But I think Kristen Milioti, like, that's as Falcone's daughter, like, that we could probably see like a betrayal sort of storyline here, right? Maybe they're in love and then she's secretly like working to obviously take over and she's out for blood. This show looks dark. It looks intense. Colin Farrell still looks absolutely magnificent. I'm actually happy that this is going to be in its own sort of universe. It is its own, you know, the Batman saga, you know, outside of what James Gunn is going to do with the DCU. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I guess this is taking place between one and two. So, you know, it'd be cool to sort of see how they plant some seeds to move on to the second one.
Yeah. I think there's also like, there's the fallout from, the Batman, you know, the flooding of Gotham and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's water everywhere.
I think they're still dealing with that. So I think that's definitely still at play. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it fits into the timeline. And are we going to move around the timeline? Are we going to see things before the whole Batman situation with the Riddler, and then are we going to see things after? Like, are we going to kind of understand both ends of the spectrum in terms of like the power that was kind of, you know, at fighting, like, will John Turturro make an appearance, right? There's a Falcone he played, right?
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. It would be great. He was a great Falcone, right?
Well, and seeing Clancy Brown in this as, Maroni, is going to be awesome. He's so damn good in just everything that he shows up in. So to see him and Colin Farrell, like, tearing up dialogue in a scene together, like, it's, I understand that there's going to be moments of characters getting beat and almost stabbed, and that'll be intense. But, like, I think scenes of those two talking could be just as intense. And I'm so looking forward to this. This is really one that I kind of forgot was happening and didn't really remember. So then when the Batman was delayed, I was kind of disappointed. But you're right, Justin. This is the perfect, like, amuse bouche, if you will, the perfect appetizer for what's to come with the next Batman.
Well, the Penguin will break all the rules sometime in late 2024. And now, finally, I've saved this trailer for last, as I imagine my colleagues are pretty darn excited for this one and are likely already looking forward to the Watch Club for it. The next chapter in the Disney Plus Star Wars saga takes us back to the end of the High Republic before the events of Episode 1 to follow a Jedi investigation into a series of crimes. This is, of course, Star Wars The Acolyte. Gentlemen, how stoked are you for this one?
Yeah, no, I'm this is like True Detective, but with Star Wars, right? Like, and with Jedi, and
That.
It's taking place 100 years before the prequels. So it's like, you know, everything about it feels as fresh and original as what Andor did with its sort of genre mixing of, you know, political, dramatic thriller with the Star Wars galaxy. You know, it's going to be great to see, you know, a Jedi-centric story after, you know, so many stories that have kind of moved away from Jedis, especially in the TV space, mostly. So to get a show that is Jedi-focused is going to be very, very interesting. And, yeah, it looks great. It looks awesome. It's so dark.
But I think the most exciting part, at least for me, of someone who I'm like, I'm okay with continuing to take a break from the Jedi. The fact that we're getting to see the Jedi at the peak of their hubris and sort of the beginning of their downfall is pretty exciting to me. I think it's really refreshing. Like, if you thought the Jedi Council was dogmatic back in the prequels, these Jedi are at their peak. I've not read High Republic stuff, but you hear the disbelief even in that line, like, who would kill a Jedi? Like, what are you talking about? Leslie Headland, when we Darcy and I saw this trailer back in London at Star Wars Celebration, Leslie Headland had pitched the show as Frozen meets Kill Bill. And so, you know, she said, right, which is crazy. So she said there's themes of samurai schools of thought versus lone warrior, father and daughter, master and Padawan. And the most interesting thing, and I think this is where the Frozen part comes from, sibling versus or sibling, not versus sibling, but sibling and sibling. So I think there's a lot of people speculating that Amanda Stenberg is playing two characters in this show, that she could be playing twins, or that there are twins at play at some point. You know, I think there's it actually would be awesome to see if they were maybe on two different paths at some point in the story, reminding me a lot of one of our favorite Star Wars Visions, you know, episodes, The Twins. I think that maybe she like has a sister who was a Jedi or was becoming a Jedi, and because of the decisions made by the Jedi, maybe Amanda Stenberg's character, I believe May is what she's called, like might blame them. She goes on a bit of a rampage. At the beginning of this trailer, you hear a little girl say, at the temple, you hear her say, "I see fire." And then later on through the trailer, you see another girl, or maybe the same girl, running through through that fire. So I think there is going to be that element of sisterhood kind of tied in, or at least baked into the origin of this. But bro, I'm so hyped. As you
well, she said Frozen. That would be the only thing that I could take away from Frozen is sisterhood.
Yeah, yeah. Or ice powers. There could be ice powers and maybe a snowman. We don't
sure.
know.
Yeah.
now I'm less excited. But what do you guys take from the early discourse online? Obviously, the Star Wars community is a bit toxic. It's always been quite antagonistic, and people definitely choose sides, and there's lots of bickering. But early on people have been complaining that this seems to break the canon of Phantom Menace Episode 1, when in the Jedi Temple they say that the Sith haven't existed for a millennia. So are they retconning that, or is there an alternate solution to that problem?
I think my biggest takeaway is the fact that that line that everyone is saying is canon is coming from the lips of a Jedi.
Yep.
And if there's anyone who's not going to know about the Sith, it's going to be the Jedi, because the Sith are in hiding, obviously. And again, having read the High Republic books, with the fall of the Nihil, that you could clearly see that there was some Sith stuff at play there, pulling the strings behind the scenes. And that is the whole Sith's MO, is working from the shadows
exactly
to overtake this universe or galaxy. So
yeah, and to sort of capitalize on the naivety of the Jedi, right? In a lot
yes,
of ways,
exactly.
Right?
Again, we're seeing the Jedi at the height of their power, yeah, where they think that no one can top them. And again, this is set 100 years after the events of the Nihil, where they took one of their biggest defeats, but haven't had anything since then. So it seems like they're, again, this is that whole, you know, there can only be, the Sith weren't around for 1,000 years, means that the Jedi didn't know about them for that period. They could still be in the shadows. That is where they work best, basically.
Or they just never really like had a, like in my mind too, it's like the Sith could always have been around, but when did they form? Do you know what I mean? Like, was the last time that they formed could have been a millennia, when they were identified as the Sith. Now mm-hmm. the Sith have not been seen in a millennia. Could be that they've just operated from the shadows because mm-hmm. their numbers are small, right? Like, I there's different ways to interpret it, but you know, again,
but this trailer seems to suggest we're getting a whole lot of red lightsabers. So are Mace Windu and Yoda lying about what they know and are still so naive that they get deceived by Palpatine? Or does any Jedi who cross these, you know, red lightsaber wielding people, are they toast? Are we going to see a whole bunch of Jedi get mowed down in this show?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the mm-hmm. poster. We see what has been identified, I believe, as Carrie Ann Moss's character's lightsaber, Indara's lightsaber, covered in blood.
Skid mark, so
it's gonna, well, I wouldn't call it a skid mark, Justin, but a blood mark for sure. That now it sounds even worse. But no, I think you know what, I think bringing this back to the idea of like the Sith haven't been seen, I mean, remember who we're dealing with. I again, we're not entirely sure of the exact parameters of this timeline. We could have something to do with Plagueis, right? We could have something to do with a very, very young Palpatine potentially being seen as the one on the side of the Sith, right? Just how we had with, and again, the fact that they're releasing or they're re-releasing The Phantom Menace and throwing in a trailer for this coinciding with that. I really think we're going to see those connections. Now, I do want to shout out Michael Abels who is doing the music for this show. The music in this trailer was so dang cool. The blom, the first moment you see Amanda Stenberg as May, just like it just sends like shivers down your spine, and I'm stoked to see it. I'm stoked to see the fight between her and Indara, Carrie Ann Moss, looking very Matrix, looking very you know
Trinity.
Yeah, very Trinity, very like even more of a sense of martial arts to it than even something, dare I say, with Darth Maul. And so I think it's kind of a new fighting style that we haven't really seen, unless we go back to the video games with what was that called, Darcy? That fight style. Do you remember there was a game, Teras Kasi? Teras Kasi.
That's it. Yes. Yeah.
I didn't even have to look it up.
It looks like she's using the Force to push her around, and it's crazy because her motion and movement looks like the Matrix,
dodging and everything.
Yeah, dodging and just moving the way she's moving around. It's awesome.
If she bends over backwards to dodge blaster fire, wow.
And they slowly bullet time it. Yeah,
I would be. That would actually be awesome. But I think it's interesting because I do think that there is going to be continuing off of Ahsoka. There's going to be a theme of gray in this quite significantly. And obviously they will want to, you know, kind of take in the ideas of the Sith. But because this is going to be more from Mei's perspective, I'm assuming. I think it'll be interesting to sort of see Carrie Ann Moss. You know, you notice she's dodging, she's weaving. Maybe she doesn't want to be confrontational with this girl who maybe was a past student of hers. I think Kel Naka, who is a Wookiee Jedi, played by Yonis Suotomo, so fantastic. We actually got to see Kel Naka come out on stage at Star Wars Celebration, obviously super tall. But I think it's going to be so cool just to see a Wookiee Jedi in live action, because we have gotten...
Fully trained. Yes. A Jedi Knight, not a Padawan.
Not
like
a Padawan like Gunji.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking forward to the fact that, again, this is set in the High Republic. So I think, like you mentioned Ahsoka, and during our watch before that, I talked about the wayfinders of the Jedi and how they were following the Force. And I feel like Indara might be one of these wayfinders, and that's why she's following the Force to these issues. Again, the fact that we're getting this like, detective-style story with the Force, I think is going to lead to some cool uses and applications of that. But in terms of the cast, I got to say, the one I'm most curious about is Manny Jacinto from The Good Place. I mean, I'm used to him
That's
playing Jason.
He
and he's the dummy idiot from Florida in that show. So I can only imagine. Like, I'm struggling to imagine what role he's going to have in this dark crime story set in the Star Wars universe. So I'm super stoked for this one.
I mean, I could almost, and this is literally just based off of the few milliseconds of seeing him, I could almost see him being a character that maybe does betray a little bit, right? He makes mistakes. You see that he's doing it for the right reasons, but clearly it leads to some Jedi death. But yeah, murder mystery, incredible combat, fantastic music, part of the timeline that feels like it's separated enough from the Skywalkers, while at the same time we could still get our geek on and nerd out over like Yaddle potentially showing up or younger Yoda potentially showing up. With this show, House of the Dragon, the boys all happening at the same time, like my brain's already melted from just these trailers. Like, I can't believe we're getting such a wonderful release of stuff coming out in this year. It's going to be so good.
Well, you won't have to wait too long, as The Acolyte is scheduled to premiere on Disney Plus on June 4th. Be sure to check out our Watch Club for that show, as well as perhaps some reviews for some of the films and TV shows that we talked about today. Thank you for joining us here at Geekcentric, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love to know which trailers got you the most excited and what TV shows and movies are you looking forward to the most. You can hit us up at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com, or if that's a bit like the third trailer for a movie that completely gives away the plot and spoils all the good lines, reach out on our socials. Justin, where can they do that?
They can reach out to us on X at GeekcentricYT or on Instagram at wearegeekcentric.
Awesome. Well, we also have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies and TV shows. Check out our review for the Netflix series Three Body Problem, as well as our review of the first three episodes of Marvel Animation's X-Men 97. We also have some fantastic interviews with the cast and crew of the hit animated series. In addition to listening to those wherever you check out podcasts, you can also watch those on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric, along with all of the incredible interviews we've had the pleasure of conducting over the last few years. Be sure to check out our spoiler-filled review for Ghostbuster Frozen Empire. Let's see if it lives up to the incredible job that Afterlife did to hit all those right nostalgia buttons. And finally, we are nearing the end of our watch club for The Bad Batch, so be sure to check those out as they release so you can hear our geeky thoughts and predictions for the beloved animated series. We are so glad you stopped by the trailer park to join us and can't wait to see y'all again real soon. But until then, Justin Darcy and Nate, thanks for joining me. And as we say,
love ya.
Laters.
Get home safe, y'all.
Peace.